Okay, everybody, welcome back to another edition of Addiction and Redemption. And I fucked up. I said I was going to release like Wednesday, Friday. And I haven't done that because I want to get, I'm going to be perfectly honest, because yesterday I was lazy and I just totally forgot. did you catch myself in the middle of formulating an excuse? Brought to you by Keenest Coaching. Bad coaching advice. bad advice for a coach to give would have to do with co-signing excuses. So I just called myself out in the middle of one. Anyway, my name's Dave Keenest. And this is, again, Addiction and Redemption. And we left off with me, with me spending about the longest day of my life in this shit-ridden cell, in just this disgusting, filthy fucking place. And it was like 4 or 4:30 or 5 in the morning or something like that. And I heard commotion in the cop part of the jail, so like where the cops were hanging out, and like someone had arrived, I want to backtrack a little bit. There were like a few things that happened over the night. I remember I mentioned asking for the newspaper, and they were just like no. And then I remember asking them if I would get an I bond, and an I bond is when they just let you go the next morning, when they basically kind of like do like an electronic check. And they just let you go, and you get to go free in the morning. And I remember asking the cop, like, I remember being like, will I be I-bonded? And he said, what are you in for? And I said, possession. And he just went, no. And he goes, you'll be transported in the morning. And I said, transported to where? And he said, I don't know. And I said, 26th in California? And he was like, probably. And 26th in California is, like, the Cook County Jail. So I'm in just like this little holding jail, and Cook County Jail at 26th in California is like where the bad people are, the really bad people, right? And so I'm sitting there thinking, man, I'm going to the county jail tomorrow. This is fucked up. And at the same time, I'm like thinking this is normal, because like you hear talk on the streets about 26th in Cali. Like you hear a little bit here and a little bit there, the county, they just call it the county. And so that was just sort of like a foreboding or a disturbing thing to, you know, contemplate in this completely demented state that I'm already in. And like I said, there was this woman, this cop woman that showed up at like super early in the morning, like 4:30 or 5 at the latest. And this is after, you know, the bologna sandwich debacle. They probably handed out the bologna sandwiches at like 3 in the morning. And it was just the longest. That was literally the single longest night of my life, was that night. And it's fucked up because if you go back a few episodes, you'll hear about how I couldn't stand the night in rehab, so I left. I like called a cab because I couldn't stand the night in rehab. And in rehab, they had a pillow and they had a couch, you know? And they had a TV, and they had food and water that didn't come from a disgusting, filthy, god-awful spigot thing. And I couldn't stand it. The only thing that would keep me away from dope was a prison cell or a jail cell, a thick metal door. That's how demented I was. That's how powerless I was. It's funny, you hear people's lofty opinions about 12-step programs. One of the things that they'll say is, well, I have an issue with the concept of personal powerlessness, you know, some sort of fucking hoity-toity whatever. And it's like, that's fine if you have a fucking problem with the concept of personal powerlessness, but have you ever needed to be locked in a goddamn motherfucking jail cell to keep you away from dope? Just ask yourself that one. If you're one of those people that thinks 12-step programs are, there's no such thing as personal powerlessness. Yeah, ask yourself if you've ever considered, like, prostitution. You know, just ask yourself that question, and then your opinion might change a little bit. I don't know. That's just kind of like a little bit of a soapbox. We'll get into the 12-step work here as the show progresses. A little foreshadowing, but obviously the story turned out okay because I'm sitting here telling it. So who knows where it's going to go between now and then. So anyway, this woman shows up and they round us up. So they basically walk down the hall and they unlock the like one door, one cell at a time. They unlock us. Or they let us out, and they put us in this other cell. Now, this other cell is like a big cell with, like, all different people, and they handcuffed us together. Not everyone together, but you have, like, a handcuff buddy. So you've got your, like, handcuff partner. And my handcuff partner's name was, like, John White. I remember his last name was White. Steve White. This black dude. And I remember I wanted to look at him and be like, what's your middle name? Ain't. And that was like this humor in me that wanted to poke itself out. Like, that was my humanity. That was like the part of me that still existed inside. I just wanted to be like, ain't. But I didn't, because I thought maybe he was a murderer or maybe he would just start beating me and I would be attached to him with the handcuffs and I wouldn't be able to get away. This is what actually went through my head. So I had this joke I wanted to make. And I didn't make it for fear of being attacked by a potential murderer or rapist or whatever. So we're like sitting in there and there's maybe like 15 or 20 of us. And they're just sort of, I can't remember what they're doing, but they're getting ready to transport us, to put us into paddy wagons. To put us in separate paddy wagons. And the cops are joking around. The cops are like outside. The cops are free. They're not in jail. They're in the jail, but they're not locked up in the jail. They're just in the jail building. And they're, like, joking around and literally eating donuts and drinking coffee and just, you know, just the – what do you think the stereotype of a fucking Chicago cop is like? And I'm a bad guy. I'm just sitting there. I'm a bad guy on the other side of the on the other side of the bars. And if you go and you read the story, Cook County Jail, from the show notes, you'll see that one of the lines is that it was like being on the other side of a cop drama, or it was like being inside of a cop drama, like Law and Order, but on the other side of the police, where you wanted the bad guys to escape and go out and murder people for obeying the law, or murder police for enforcing the law. That's kind of how I felt. They were like evil. They were like bad. You know, I alluded to Stockholm Syndrome earlier, but by this point it was kind of like fuck cops, you know. And it was just really fucked up, and I was so sick at this point. I was just so sick. It was just awful. And they were like, anybody need to take their meds before you get transported? And the only thing I thought about was like, got any heroin or methadone or anything? And of course they didn't. I didn't say anything. But so they put us in this paddy wagon. And there's, like, probably 10 of us in this thing. And it's just, they just put us in, and I'm handcuffed to this guy. And there's this crazy, my crazy schizophrenic roommate guy, the racist schizophrenic guy who was eating the sandwiches and shitting in front of me. He's, like, using the N-word all over the place, and he smells so bad. And they just load us in this paddy wagon. And there's, like, I'm still handcuffed to this guy whose last name is White. And there's maybe, like, 5 of us on one side and 5 of us on the other, or maybe 6 on one side and 6 on the other. And just picture the Chicago Police Department paddy wagons that you see, like, parked outside of Starbucks or whatever. And they just shut the door, and it's just pitch black. And it's cold. There's no heat. And it's just, like, it was, like, the day before was warm, and this day wasn't as warm. And they just shut the door, and it's just black. You can't see anything. It's pitch black in there. And they just start driving around. And, like, you can kind of hear, like, them talking a little bit maybe, or like, sounds of the outside world. And I'm just, like, in this dark, pitch black, inside of this pitch black paddy wagon, just driving around the city. And they would have to, like, stop, they would like stop, and you'd be like, where are they? Like, why aren't we moving? And like, you figure maybe they're probably at like Starbucks or like doing whatever, or who knows what they're doing. But they're like, it would stop for like, you would get stopped in a spot for like 10 or 15 or 20 minutes sometimes. And it's just like, what the fuck are the cops doing? And it's like, well, they're doing whatever the fuck they want. They're being free citizens. And you're locked in this pitch black hell. You know, and it made me think, again, I've alluded to it. It made me think about Auschwitz. Like, when they took those people and they put them on those trains and they just sent them into the middle of nowhere. And there was like a bucket in the corner. And I mean, there could have been people here who need to use the bathroom or whatever, and they just would have had to, you know, do whatever right there. And it just made me think, like, I'm a prisoner. This is what a prisoner feels like. I'm locked in a pitch dark black box on a steel bench, and I can't move. And I'm handcuffed to the guy next to me. How fucked up is that? How fucked up is that? You know, as I say it, it's like, it's all coming back to me just how messed up this whole situation was. Just existential crisis of gigantic proportions. And we drove around and they would like stop at other jails and like open the door and, you know, new people would get in. And so it's just getting more and more packed in there. And they're just basically like piling up on top of each other. And they would like drive around corners and sometimes they would go too fast and people would fall onto the floor and everybody gets in and they're handcuffed to each other. So everybody gets all tangled up and it's just like fucked up. Like, how did this happen? How did this happen to me? And we finally, so you got to figure, I got busted on the west side. And so we drove from probably, who knows, it was probably like 800 north to 2600 south. And it's that's a long ways. And it was just forever. And then we finally got to the county jail. Like, we finally got to 26th in California, and they opened the door and they let us out. And I remember it was cold, and they like brought us through this back. We were like in this big back entrance, and there was like this staircase, and we just had to like walk up the staircase, and we're still handcuffed to each other, and we just had to stand there on the staircase. It's probably like 6 a.m. something like that. And I was near the front. There's like a door in front of me that's like bars and this like mesh stuff. And I'm like right up at the front, and it's like open. There's like another door behind that that's open, and I can see the cops behind the mesh, like doing whatever it is they do, like waiting to let us in for the day. And it's like 6 a.m. They probably just got to work or who knows what. And we just have to stand there, and I swear to God that we stood on that staircase for like an hour or even longer, just standing in one position, just not moving. It's cold, and I'm handcuffed to this crazy motherfucker whose last name is White. You know, or maybe he's just a nice guy like me, who knows? And so finally they like, I don't remember how it went down, but they finally, like, opened the gate, opened the doors, and, like, brought us in. There's, like, a little hallway, and then there's this other door. There's a big cell that we have to go into. And that's what they call the bullpen. So I went from this holding cell over, you know, on the west side, wherever that was, into the paddy wagon, you know, where I spent, 17 hours, and drove in the paddy wagon over to 26th in California, stood on the staircase for an hour and a half, and then I finally get into the bullpen. And at some point, they put numbers on our hands. And so I think, for some reason, the number I had, was 67. And so I'm just number 67. And they just lead us all into this big cell, and there's probably already like 30 people in there. And I'm one of maybe two or three white people. And these are just all big, strong black guys. And me. There was one other white dude in there. And he had been busted, I think, with a quarter pound of weed, he told me. But this was my life. And it just got crowded. And I remember asking him, like, I remember, like, I'm trying to get answers. I just want some clarity. I just want to know. I just want to know how is this going to go? How do I get out of here? You know, because I called my mom the day before from the other jail cell, and she called a lawyer, and so the lawyer knew the process, but I didn't know the process. I hadn't talked to him. And I somehow got the information. I was like, well, what time is court? I asked him, and they were like, it's either at 9 o'clock or 1 o'clock. So it's 6 o'clock a.m. So I'm either waiting 3 hours or 7 hours until court. And it's so packed in there. It's like shoulder to shoulder. And there are people in there who, like, know each other, and there's, like, gangs getting, like, hooked up, and, like gang members who know each other, and I'm sure there could be a beating, and I'm sure maybe someone had a weapon. And, man, it was fucked up. And I stood in that cell in the same position for... probably. I don't think I got out until three or four in the afternoon. But I stood more or less the same position. I didn't use the bathroom. I was like afraid I would get raped, like for real. Like I was literally afraid I would get raped if I went to the bathroom. Or that I would like try to pee and I would get shy bladder and I wouldn't be able to pee and then I would be seen as weak. And then I wouldn't get out and I would have to go to the other part of the jail, like where you stay for a while. And that people would know I was weak. These are the things that are going through my head. I'm starting to think in, like, survival mode. It's fucked up. All right, this has been a longer episode. I'm going to go ahead and release it now. As you know, you're probably listening to it, so it's already been released. This is why podcasts are funny. Anyway, thanks again. My name's Dave Keenest. This has been Addiction and Redemption. Please forgive me for not keeping up with my word. I was waiting for the downloads. There's another excuse. Just publish the frickin' thing or just record the frickin' thing. All right. Have a beautiful night. Bye.